Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want you to, real quickly, I want you to go to Psalm 4, and then I want you to go to Ephesians 5, and I want to share just a little bit today concerning this thing. We're finishing up, on this thing called honor. We'd do it without being repetitive because there's so much about honor that the church needs to glean from the scriptures and from the very heart of God. Because if we do not learn this, you'll understand some things today as we've studied a little deeper in it. You'll understand some things today that it impacts a lot of areas. Matter of fact, most areas of our life, if we fail to give honor, but. Honor is something that is a posture of our heart, not just something that we say. It has to come from the heart. We learned that scripturally because the people, Jesus said, the people, they're saying a lot of things about me. They're talking about me, and the talk is like they won't honor me with their words. But he noticed that even in their words, they didn't really mean it in their heart. Their heart was far from him. Talk's cheap, it really is. I mean, you know, talk is cheap. It talks cheap with Christians. I mean, it really, we can talk a Christian Christianese, but unless we live the life that's presented to us in the scriptures, then we struggle with validating what we're saying. I mean, you know, that's true. We say, and then it needs to be validated with our living. And it's not a bad deal. It's really not. It's really not hard because he said, I'll give you all the power you need to do it. So we're at this place to where we want this to be a core value. When I say core value of a people of this house, it should be one of the core values of how we live, that no matter what we do, no matter where we go, no matter who we're with, we are a people that will bring honor regardless of where we agree or disagree with them. See, it's okay to disagree. You know, one of the biggest things that divides the church in today's world right now is politics. There's more division in the church about politics, and that should not be. It should not be. We're not about politics. We're about the kingdom. We're about Bible. We're about Christ. We're about God. We're about the Holy Spirit. That's what we're about. Are politics involved in our life? Absolutely. So when you vote, you just need to understand that you're voting for the person that you want to govern you in this nation. In other words, when you cast a vote, you're saying, I want this person to govern me. So you better understand what they believe in before you hit that vote. Why? Because the government is coming out of them to you. So, but our heart should not be divided. Regardless of who, I'm going to love you regardless of who you vote for. I'm going to help you regardless of who you vote for. That's how we should not start building walls with political stones. Our building should be the lively stones of living stones of who we are being built together. What God's doing. Not separate. Not divided. The churches can be divided about a lot of things. It can be divided over music. I don't really like that style. You know, we can do like this one. You know, we do praise music. And how many of you remember the scripture songs that came out a long time ago? That it was just a lot of strong songs that was put to scripture. You remember those? Yeah. And then people said, no, I don't like that. And they won't enter into that, but you sing how great thou art, and they'll almost be raptured to heaven. Nothing wrong. I love how great thou art. Do you understand what I'm saying? Worship is not about the song. Worship is about the heart. Does that make sense? Yeah, sure it makes sense. So you can worship anywhere. Anyway, So we have this thing that defines Psalm 4. Look at verse 2. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless? Watch this. How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? See, you begin to see that dishonor is beginning to run rampant in the people that he's speaking about, because instead of honoring, they're bringing shame. Instead of bringing honor, they're bringing shaming. They bring shame to a person. And not only that, when you begin to see this, this dishonor will cause you to shame others. Dishonor will cause you to shame others. It'll cause you to put them down instead of lift them up. Amen? Amen, okay. And also it says here, he said, how long will you love what is worthless? And all of a sudden your affection is given to something that is worthless, given to something that it has no value whatsoever. Dishonor will cause you to love things that has no value whatsoever. It will change the system of what you value if you dishonor. Does that matter? Sure it matters. Sure it matters. Our affection should be tied to the things that the Lord wants us to be tied to, not things that are worthless. And it goes on, it says, how long will you love what is worthless and aim, watch this, and aim at deception? In other words, dishonor will cause you to begin to take aim in a way that is deceiving. I'm telling you, dishonor will impact your life to a very negative, negative way. Honor will draw the very blessings of God in your life. It will attract more of God's blessing in your life when you begin to learn how to honor. And we'll see that in the scriptures in just for a moment. But you say, why is he? You know, he's been gone 2 weeks. We had 2 weeks of this. He's been gone 2 weeks and he's still at it. Well, there's still more to say. God's just revealing more of what's going on and what it is that we need to be in order to impact where we are and where we're going and how we impact others. New Century Translation says it this way. People, how long will you turn my honor into shame? How long will you love what is false? And how long will you look for new lies? So dishonor will look for another lie, another lie, another lie, another lie to support what they want instead of what God wants. You love what is false, and you'll look for a new lie to tell. I didn't say that. That's what the Bible says. And that is called dishonor. So we have to understand that God is in the midst of changing our viewpoint of how we see each other and how we are to treat each other. But without honor, you're not going to have integrity. Without honor, you won't have integrity. And when you don't have integrity, you will lose your credibility. What you say has no credibility to it. You know, people can't stand on it. People can't lean on it. People can't trust it. See, honor is given. Trust is earned. Amen. Honor is given. That's the reason it says give honor to all people. Give honor to all people. You know, this thing about honor and honoring all mankind, we will try to categorize people and put them in certain categories. Say, well, he's not worthy, she's not worthy. And when they start acting honorable, I'll give them honor. Heathens do that. Jesus said that about the heathen. He said, you know, the heathens love people that love them. But if they don't love them, they don't love them. If they don't love them, they don't love them back. See, lost people without the living Christ inside, without the Holy Spirit, and can love people that love them. Can treat them good because they've been treated good. Christianity is way beyond that. Living a life that has been changed and impacted and is in the process of being changed and impacted by the presence of God and by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. That matters a lot. But it will cause you to do things that the rational mind doesn't like. And you'll have to step over something that is very fleshly in order to follow the Spirit. Somebody told me, well, several people told me, Pastor, you need to understand something. When we get real quiet, we're listening. We're listening, so don't get nervous. You know, we're listening. You know, but see, the thing about honor, see, when we dishonor, we lose integrity. And when we lose integrity, we lose credibility, which means that we won't be able to be trusted. And let me ask you this. Do you want other people to trust you? Raise your hand. You want other people to take your, when you say something, you want them to trust your word. That has to come with honor. In other words, you mean what you say, and you say what you mean, and you live up to doing what you say you're going to do. Are y'all okay with that? So if you made a commitment, what should you do? Fulfill the commitment. And if you can't fulfill the commitment, you need to go back and say, listen, I remember Antony. Continue to pray for Antony. Antony, he's still battling cancer, and he's doing better, but he still has those days that are pretty tough. Lord, we just ask you to continue to heal him, touch his body, move on his life, encourage him, encourage his family. And Lord, we just ask you in Jesus' name to heal him. Bring healing to him. Anyway, he had made a commitment to do nursery. I think it was, wasn't it nursery, Gina? It was something with nursery. No, it was VBS. He made a commitment to help us in VBS a few years ago. And then one day he came up and he said, Pastor, I preached a message and it was because I said I would. Y'all remember that message? Because I said I would. I'm going to do it. Why are you going to do that? Because I said I would. The Bible says, swear to your own hurt. So if you said you was going to do it and now it's going to hurt you, you do it anyway because you said you would. Anyway, he comes up to me and he said, Pastor, I know I signed up for this whole week of VBS. He said, but what's come up is I play basketball. He's big in basketball. I play basketball, and the alumni that I'm with, they're getting together and they're going to do it. They're going to have a basketball night on Wednesday and Thursday. And I said, okay. And he said, that's this week. And it was on a Monday, I think. He said, no, that's this week. And I said, okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, tell me. I knew where he was going. I wanted him to talk more about it. He said, no. This is only going to happen just every once in a while. And I said, I get it. I understand. He said, I can see that you're not cooperating with this conversation, so I need to ask you a question. I said, I'm glad you are. Ask me a question. He said, is it okay that I don't do this and I go play the basketball because it is the alumni? Is it okay that I do that? And I said, that's your choice, not mine. He said, I need you to tell me. And I said, I just did. I just told you. That's your choice. And it had been about a month since I had preached that message. And he said, but I heard the message. And I'm a man of my word. And I said, that's great. He said, what I need to do? And I said, whatever you want to do. He finally looked at me and said, I'm going to be doing VBS all week long. And I said, why are you going to be doing VBS? This thing only happens this every once in a while. He said, because I said it would. So he called his basketball buddy and said, I got prior commitments. What are you doing? I'm doing VBS with the kids. Might not have meant anything to them, but it meant everything to us. It meant everything to Gina. It meant everything to all the kids. It meant everything to them. And most of the kids didn't even know it. Why is that? Because it's integrity. It's honoring what you said. Then you become a person of honor when you honor what you said. Are y'all with me? See, it's so easy to say, nah, I know I made this. I know I said I'd do this, but this is more important. It ain't no more important keeping your word. If you need to go back on it, go back and tell the person that you committed to saying, can I be released from doing this? I know I gave my word to do it. But this is coming. Is it, can I be released in that? And if they release you, then go on and do the other thing. It's just integrity. Instead of not just showing up and then wonder, well, where's so-and-so? Everybody swallow real hard. Just it goes down pretty good. It really does. But afterwards, it's so fulfilling. It really is. So anyway, we have this situation of keeping our word. And he goes on. Well, anyway, let me move on to Ephesians 5 because my time's leaving me. Ephesians 5 because I want to look at this just for a moment. Honor will let you celebrate who a person is, even when they're not who you want them to be. Honor will let you celebrate who a person is, even when they're not the person that you want them to be. Instead of, well, they're not all that, but they're a person. Over in Ephesians 5, let's look at 5:8. You were formerly darkness. He didn't say you were formerly in darkness. He said you were formerly darkness. What were you before Christ? You were darkness. Y'all hearing me? That's what the Bible says. You were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. You were darkness, now you're light. Then he says this, walk. The emphasis is walk. You were darkness, and when you are darkness, you walk darkness. And you are the light, you should walk light. He says, walk. Walk as children of the light. Then he puts in parentheses this thing about, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So it tells you how the walk is supposed to be. The fruit of your walk as the light will be with all, it didn't say just goodness, it said all goodness, all righteousness, and all truth. And that's how we are to walk as children of the light. Look at the next word. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. It is our job to try to learn what is pleasing to God and what is not pleasing to God. So if we see something that is pleasing to God, we should do that. If we see something that is not pleasing to God, we should not do it. But he says, we got to try to learn to do that. There's nothing wrong with trying to learn how to do that. The Bible says to do that, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Have you ever stopped trying? Don't answer that. You ever came to the place that okay, I got this situation, and you don't really want to know what the Lord says about it? Or you sort of know what the Lord says about it, but you're sort of like, I'm not going to ask him, but I know it anyway. See, that's human nature. Then he goes on in verse 16. So we look at it, said, okay, we're trying to learn what is pleasing to God. Then verse 16, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Do you think the days are evil today? It's So he says, well, make the most of your time. But King James says, redeeming the time. Buy it back. Invest in getting time to do something that God wants you to do. He said, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish. Watch this. But understand what the will of the Lord is. If you want to do the will of the Lord, what must you do? Understand. You must understand. So here we are in this other verse. I need to learn what pleases him, and I need to understand his will. So those are two educational processes that we have inside us that he wants us to always do. Because the Bible says there's a group of people that will be ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. So he wants us to learn. He wants to learn what pleases him and then do that. Then he wants us to learn or understand what his will is. Y'all with me? So he doesn't stop it at that. He doesn't stop it at that. So that's in Ephesians 5. He goes on, and then in chapter 6. But how many of you know when it was written, it didn't have chapter and verse. It was just one letter. And I'm grateful for the chapter and verses because it helps us find things. But this is just one letter. So the thought continues, even though you see a break in chapter and verse, the thought continues. He goes on. He's talking about learn something that's pleased, learn what's pleasing to God, and understand what his will is. Then he goes on in Ephesians 6. Listen to this. Before we go to that, he continues throughout that chapter, and he teaches you how to honor. He teaches you how to honor in serving, how to honor in marriage, how to honor in family, how to honor as an employee, how to honor as an employer. All that's following what we just read in Ephesians 5. Don't have time to read all that, but that's what he could. How to honor in all of these things. As somebody who's an employee, he tells you how to honor as a worker. And if you're the boss, it tells you how to honor others as you're over them. So he lays all this out. Okay, here's what's pleasing to God. Here's understanding of God's will. I want you to honor your parents, honor people, honor in serving. Again, I say honor in serving, honor in marriage, honor in family, how family works, honor as an employee, honor as an employer. Then he moved. Why is that important? You're going to see it in just a second. Why is that important? Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the deception of the devil. And we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all, stand. What we will do, listen to this. What we will do a lot of times, we will reach in and take that in the Bible, and we will start doing a study. I've done it more times than once. There's nothing wrong with reaching in and taking and studying what that is. But what we see here is we see this thing in Ephesians about spiritual warfare hinges upon how we honor others. Because that's the word finally. When he says finally, that is a connecting word. And in the Greek, it finally reaches back and grabs. That word finally, so it reaches back and gets all that stuff that he talked about honor, reaches back and grabs hold of it. Thank you, Pastor John, for cooperating with me. See, I'm at this place. I'm treating my wife right. I'm treating others right. I'm being a good employer. I'm being a good employee. I'm learning how to honor and serving, how I serve you. And then he says, finally, I reach back and get all of that. Be strong in the Lord. Mm-hmm. That word be strong is finally you're at a place to be empowered with the strength of God to resist the devil and fight the war that you need to fight. But if you're not doing this other stuff, you're out here not paying any attention to this. Are y'all with me? Not paying any attention to honor. I don't care. It doesn't really matter. What matters more, because it's all put together. That word finally reaches back and gets that. Says, now, because of this, because I've learned how to do this, I can now be empowered by God in His strength, in His might, and be able to fight against the wiles, against the deception of the devil, because I've made the connection in finally. Finally is not another thing. It means in doing so, from then on, and that's what it is in the Greek. From then on, you can be empowered by God and the strength of the Lord and the power of His might. Why? Because you learn how to obey. You learn how to honor people. You learn how to treat people with kindness and with honesty and with openness. And you've learned how to do that. You've learned how to treat your family right. You've learned how to honor people. You know what that means? When we're not doing this, we're going to struggle a whole lot more of trying to get the armor of God put on, because what's happening is the armor is not fitting. It's not your armor. It is the armor of God, but it's not fitting you because you're not in the place for it to fit. Thank you, brother. That's good stuff. It really is. Why? Because it puts us in accountability of how we live our life, and then we live our life in a way that is not pleasing to God, and not we don't understand God's will. We're just really not. And we treat each other with the other with a lot of different things. Oh yeah, so fooey. I don't even like them. I don't agree with them. I don't agree. I've chosen this denomination, and because I have chosen and to give this denomination honor, I am therefore privileged to give the others dishonor. That is not true. That's the furthest thing from the truth. It is not in the Bible. Because you've chosen this one, you have the privilege to dishonor the other one. That is not true. But we can't just live any other way, and then all of a sudden I'm going to be strong in God. I'm going to put the armor of God. It's not going to fit. Are y'all getting this? I tell you another one where the armor didn't fit. You remember David? Look, you're just a kid. Why don't you put this armor on? And Saul's a huge guy. And he starts putting it on, and he's clanging and clanging. You know, he starts taking it off. Why? It don't fit. That's when he says, put it on. Put on the whole armor of God. He didn't say just put on the armor of God. He said put on the whole armor of God. You've been doing this right here. Now you're at a place where I'm enabling you. See, this word be strong is an outside force making you strong. You don't have to churn it up, work it up, talk it up, walk it up, pray it up. You ain't got to do that. Now you got to pray. You need to do that. But it ain't left up to you to churn it up. He said, you get to this place to where you're walking in this way, and then I will empower you to do whatever you need to do against the evil day that you're living in. And I'm telling you, we're living in an evil day that needs the presence of God. We need to be able to honor people whether we agree with them or not. Hey, Brenda.
Because he said, you and I, we have a responsibility to stand against the schemes of the, stand against them. We don't let them just continue on. We got to stand against them. That's what he said. Take a stand against evil. If it's not in the Bible and it's against the Bible, take a stand against it. I don't care who it makes mad. Don't dishonor them, because your engagement is not flesh and blood. It's a spiritual thing. You tell the truth. You bring the truth. You're empowered to do that, and you're able to stand. He said, after you've done everything to stand against it, what do? You just keep on standing. Take that place of truth. Take that place of honor and keep standing. Honor causes everything around us to elevate and attract the blessings of God and God's power. Honor will elevate us to the place to receive God's power. In Colossians 3, and I got to close. Colossians 3 says this in verse 22. Serve not with external service only, as those who merely please men. So if you want to learn how to serve in honorably serve, don't do it just in service only. As those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. It does not, the fear of it, but it is not just the fear, it is the reverence of God. You have a reverence of God. For whatever you do, do your work heartily, as to the Lord, rather than for men. So when you start doing things and they're mistreating you, they're not treating you right, they're treating you wrong, and all of a sudden you have all this, do not let that get you distracted from doing your best for whatever that business is for the Lord. Why is that? Here's the reason why you need to do that. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Honor in serving will attract the reward of God to your life. Well, I don't want it. Well, then don't honor. That's too hard. Well, it's going to be a lot harder without the reward. Then he goes on and says, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So no matter where you're serving, it is the Lord Jesus whom you're serving. No matter where you work, it is the Lord Jesus whom you're serving. There's no more the secular and sacred. We can't divide it that way. No, it's our life. Our life at the car lot. Our life selling cars. Our life selling groceries. Whatever it is, our life is of the Lord. Amen. I did that one time. I told y'all my sock fell down. So Brent said, "Don't tell people that anymore." So I'm not going to tell them today. So. Listen, then he says this, and I'll close. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong for which he's done, and that will be without partiality. Another paraphrase, the Message Bible says this. Do not just do the minimum that you need to do to get by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master in God. Confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. And when you go into places, don't look. When you're invited to places, and this is it, promise. When you're invited to places, don't look for the best seat in the house when you've been invited. Take the lowest seat. If you've been invited, take the lowest seat. Because it says, if you've been invited, don't come to the choice tables and start wanting to sit there, because the person that invited you may have somebody else that he has planned to sit there. And it will be a shame, not a shame, but you will be exposed of not having honor, because they'll have to come and tell you, you need to give up this seat because I got the president or whoever it is coming, the CEO is coming, so you need to remove your seat. Don't look for the prime seat when you're invited. I remember me and Brenda went to Bob Jones' 50th wedding anniversary, and it was up in Asheville. We had an invitation. We came in,
and there's about 200 people there had tables. We walked in, and we're thinking, okay, no. And then I looked, and they got assigned seating. And I said, okay. So we start at the front. We start looking. No Howells here. No Howells here. And we keep going. No Howells here. Keep going. And all of a sudden, we get to the back corner. Back. Now, we're good friends with the prophet, Bob Jones. We're good friends with the back corner. It's way back in the back. If they had an annex, we'd have been in there. But we found it. Hey, look, here we are. Here we are. So we do that. And we're both saying, man, I can't even, Bob Jones is that big. You know how that stuff goes. Then all of a sudden, listen to him, all of a sudden, somebody walks in, and his name is Don Potter. Brenda loves his music, always wanted to meet him, always wanted to sit and talk with him, and up he comes, and he's sitting right with our table. He is dressed identically like me. He's got a blue blazer, gray pants, and a shirt, same color, same time. And Brenda's looking, but she lights up. Why? All of a sudden, we weren't trying to take somebody else's spot. We took the spot that we were landed in. And then God made something very special for her, and she got to spend that entire evening talking to Don Potter. That's God. It really is. That's God. Well, I'm done. I think I'm done. Yeah, she's got something. Did y'all get anything out of this? I hope so. Come on.
I think I gave you your message, didn't I?
Is it on? Hello?
Oh, there we go. For those of you who really know me, I don't need this. But I just wanted to remind everybody, please, on your way out, pick up some of these veterans cards and talk about how God just orchestrates everything. I've been really struggling to update the webpage because my life is just so crazy right now. So I stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning. The webpage is updated. However, I never let everybody know that it's public until I can tweak it. So please scan the QRL code, go to that, email me, because it's right on there, any typos, because I have tweaked this so many times at 2 o'clock in the morning I can't see straight. So I want to challenge everybody. Veterans Day is Friday. There's 5 cards in here. I know that you can seek out 5 veterans. They have their caps on most of the time. There's probably going to be several of us going out to lunch today after service. Seek out those veterans. Thank them. Do even one better. Pay for their meal. It's just a simple gesture. Were we able to get that up? There you go. When you scan the QRL code, it goes to that. And the most recent article is about honoring our vets. And then it talks about the Blue Ridge Honor flight that I went on back in October. But towards the bottom of that article, it gives you different ways, simple ways, that we can all honor our veterans. Thank you.
Amen. Will you give me 2 minutes? Is it okay if I take 2 minutes? It'll help you on how to honor. 2 minutes, okay? This right here is just a piece of cardboard. What's the value of it? Huh? 1 cent, maybe? 1 cent? 1 penny? That's maybe worth that. But what if I put Mickey Mantle's picture on it? What's it worth? Now, I printed this off the internet. Don't be thinking I printed this off. What's it worth? I don't know. We've got his picture on it. It's worth a little bit more. Somebody may give me a dollar for that. I don't really know. But its value increased because, listen to this, its value increased because an image. People are made in God's image. That's a reason you honor. Okay. Now, let's just say it's the one that he signed. How much is it worth? It's the one that he signed. $12.6 million with Mickey Mantle's signature on it. What's the point? Number one, we're all made in God's image. And the ones that belong to him have his signature on our hearts. Be careful how you treat people, and be real careful how you treat other Christians. They're more valuable than you know. Does that help you?
Yes.
Okay, let's stand up. If I don't get you out of here, you're going to say, don't send him on vacation again. He keeps us too long. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ and you want to accept Christ, I want to accept him in my life. I want to know more about this thing of his empowerment and his honor and his presence. So if that's you, as people adjourn, just walk up here and me and Brother Doug will meet you and we'll talk to you about receiving Christ. Father, thank you for this group. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the time. Put it deep inside us, Lord, that it won't be shallow. Let it be something that's going to be real in our lives and we'll be able to walk it out and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.